What if I told you Jesus came to abolish religion? What if I told you voting Republican really wasn't his mission? What if I told you Republican doesn't automatically mean Christian?
And just because you call some people blind doesn't automatically give you vision.
I mean, I'm one of the only people that can say, and it's the weirdest thing in the world, that basically my whole life is owed to 4 minutes and 52 seconds of a video.
In a world that is increasingly centered around social media, it can be challenging to live authentic and transparent lives. We have a tendency to post pictures and make comments that leave the illusion that our lives are better than they really are. In fact, I saw this t-shirt that said, "May your life someday be as great as you pretend it is on Facebook." And I get it. Of course we're gonna put out the best version of ourselves. The problem is, it's not real. And social media may be new, but this preoccupation with what other people think, that's not new at all. In fact, when Jesus came on the scene as a rabbi, the religious leaders of his day were especially known for this. Matthew 23, verse 5, Jesus says of them, that everything they do is for others to see. They're constantly putting on a show. And so my guess is the Pharisees would have loved Twitter. They would have loved to post that, "Hey, I'm fasting today," or "This is my 5,000th day of keeping the law of Moses," and then be able to read people's comments about how great they are. But that's all religion. See, religion puts this huge focus on outward appearance, but Jesus was constantly looking at the heart. Religion says it's all about keeping some rules and following some rituals, but Jesus was looking for a relationship. Religion says you need to put on a show, you need to pretend, but Jesus says, "I want you just the way you are."
I was raised with a single mom. Now, I knew my dad, he was around, but it was more like the legal relationship. So he wasn't totally absent, but it was definitely not what a true father was supposed to be, not in the home, really, didn't really know how to relate to me. My mom got in a car accident when she was in, I think I was in elementary or beginning of middle school, that left her handicapped from the knee down, which that kind of had some hard things with her being able to work. So we were on Section 8 housing, welfare, food stamps, just basically everything. My mom kind of took us to church. It was just a couple years here, then off, a couple years here. I knew the culture. I didn't feel like I was a church kid. I just felt like I was kind of, you know, going and trying to fit in. So it was right around high school where really I felt like the world kind of started impeding on my own life. Temptations and different world attractions, or basically kind of the world started calling my name per se. I shoplifted a ton as a kid. There was just some CDs I wanted, and so I remember just grabbing them, unwrapping them, putting them in my pocket or something like that. And then we go out to the car and we're about to leave, and then like a cop blocks us in and like just screeches in, came out of nowhere. I just remember, man, I was terrified. I actually remember that moment. I was so terrified. I just never thought it through that this could actually happen. Sadly, it only stopped me shoplifting for like 6 months. And it just, all that stuff amplified, right? No authority, no one around, you can do whatever you want. Then I just started living the really typical college lifestyle. I was also playing baseball my whole life competitively, all the way from 4 all the way on. So the dream was to play in college. I actually went to a Christian university, but it wasn't for Jesus. It was just because they had a really cool baseball field that overlooked the ocean. In a span of like 8 days, like my first serious girlfriend broke up with me, got kicked off the baseball team, and then I got put on academic probation. I think I had like a 1.7 GPA, and then they cut me because of that. I only was picking colleges based on where I wanted to play baseball. And so for that to be taken away in a semester, it's like, I feel like the rug just got taken out from underneath me. My first serious girlfriend break up with me was a huge thing of like, she was my functional god, and I was orbiting almost around her and getting my worth and my identity from her. No one can bear that weight. Another human, that you're just crushing that other person. That all happened to kind of wake me up and to realize that, man, I was burnt out, I was tired, I was hurt. There was all this shrapnel, per se, in my heart of just all these decisions that had been made on my own or things that had affected me from my childhood. And then I started having this debacle of, like, why do I say I'm a Christian? And I just really was broken, really. And I think that's where a lot of times God, he's always stepping in, but I think that's where we can hear him step in.
Maybe you grew up in a church or religious tradition that put a lot of pressure on you to pretend to have it all together. In the church where I grew up, we had Sunday school every week, and I remember how in our Sunday school classroom there was a sticker chart that allowed the teacher to keep track of all the leading indicators of Sunday school excellence. And so you'd get a sticker for going to church, and you'd get a sticker for bringing a Bible, and a sticker for bringing a little envelope with offering in it. And if you brought a friend, then that was worth another sticker. And they were just these little gold sticky stars. There was no candy. There were no gifts attached to it. It was just about being able to see how good you were. And I remember looking at how many stars I had on my poster and comparing that to how many stars my friends had on their posters and feeling better about myself if I had more stars than they had stars. And so we created these standings. I guess that's just human nature. And I guess it's helpful enough to teach some good habits. But the problem is when we metabolize that idea into what it means to have faith and to follow Jesus, you start to think that there's all kinds of things you can do that have nothing to do with your heart. It's all about the outward appearance. If you grew up in a church environment like that, then chances are you learned at a pretty early age that it wasn't a safe place to be authentic. It wasn't a safe place to be honest with struggles and challenges. And that works for a while, but eventually, inevitably, we reach this place in life where we can no longer keep up appearances. Who we really are has a way of always catching up with who we've pretended to be. It becomes obvious, and all the sticky stars in the world won't change it.
The first thing I did was not go talk to a friend or someone who knew Jesus. I actually just went to the library, and I was like, you know, I really want to actually learn about this Jesus guy. It was like C.S. Lewis, A.W. Tozer, you know, C.H. Spurgeon, just really, really people that blessed me in a huge way that I found out have blessed millions. I saw a Jesus who was radical to some degree. I saw a Jesus who accepted me exactly who I was and where I was, but he accepted me and loved me so much not to leave me there, and that he wants me to follow him, and that it's the beginning of the journey, not an end by just raising my hand or signing a card, but it's actually, man, this is what I was created for the rest of my life. At the end of the year, I moved back home, and I moved in with my aunt and uncle, and the reason was is they've been around since I was like growing up, and they were always the most beautiful, amazing witnesses of Jesus. They were always encouraging, just a faithful presence. Even when I had my really rebellious years, just that faithful presence of loving me, always speaking words of life to me and affirmation and acceptance and grace. And so I just wanted to live on, I wanted to live with them, I wanted to live under them and ask them questions and try to learn the scriptures and really try to get discipled. I moved in with them, but I don't know, I guess I just still thought that God didn't love me if I didn't have my quiet time, or that I had to, you know, listen to Chris Tomlin and Hillsong United or else he wasn't gonna like me or whatever, right? I just feel like I basically what I did is I looked at what Christians did and I said, I need to do that or else he's not gonna be a fan of me. I feel like I was exhausted trying to keep up an act. Act like I was okay, act like I was good enough, act like I, you know, had it all together. But yet this was really leading to no joy, leading to no fulfillment, leading to no satisfaction. I actually kind of entered into a little bit of a season of depression, of just wanting to sleep all the time, of really not even really having any motivation or purpose. A lot of times that was really had to do with just the unhealthy relationships with girls that I was coming out of. There was a huge addiction to pornography in that season. Pornography is one of the worst, the deepest senses of shame you can come across, in the sense of the distortion runs very deep. And then when I started following Jesus, it turned into the hiding of me not being able to be honest with anyone about the struggle. And I was in that place. I was in kind of that paradox of doing the things I didn't want to and vice versa.
When you experience some kind of failure, or you're overwhelmed by some kind of challenge, or maybe you have a week where everything just kind of falls apart on you, there's this tendency to keep that a secret. We don't want people to see us for who we really are, because We're afraid of rejection. So much of our identity comes from what other people think that we're scared to death of people discovering our struggles and who we really are and then rejecting us. But Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Jesus doesn't say that God reveals himself to those who are perfect, to those who could put on a good show, but to those who are pure in heart. That's authenticity language. It's the real you that he's looking for. So there's this tendency when I get to the end of me to want to hide. I don't want anyone to see me in my most vulnerable moment. And maybe you understand that. It's as old as Adam and Eve. We're afraid of what other people might think or what God might think, and so we hide. But because of Jesus, there is so much freedom that can be found when we finally just quit pretending and we get real. It turns out that God blesses the pure in heart. When we humble ourselves, when we're vulnerable, and when we're transparent, that's when we're truly loved and accepted.
I was at that place for months living with them. I felt like I was going to explode because I was holding so much in. And I finally got to the place where I was like, no, I need to tell people about this stuff. I'm not going to find healing unless I can really be honest with who I am and my failures and my shortcomings. I was sitting in their living room. You know, I don't think I've ever cried like that before, or maybe even to this day or any time. But basically, I just broke down, almost like an anxious breakdown where I just, you know, spilling about all the stuff that I was maybe ashamed of or had hurt over or had pain over. And I was fully expecting them to say, okay, great, thanks. You know, that's cool, but now you need to leave. The first thing he said after a few seconds of pausing is said, you know, hey, I've been there, you know? Hey, I understand what that's like. Hey, I've looked at that stuff too, and I know what shame feels like. I know what guilt feels like. And I was just, it just blew me away, right? That he was able to identify with me, not condemnation, but identification. And the biggest thing was really the life they spoke over me. They said, you know, we love you, but ultimately also know that Jesus loves you. He's not surprised by this right now, right? Jesus actually has called you into new life in this moment. You can be authentic, right? You can be transparent. You can be vulnerable. And they really just offered healing in that. They opened the scriptures and they said, hey, look at this. Look what Jesus says. You get that too. And then Titus 2, I think, is, you know, it says, for the grace of God has appeared to all men, training us to renounce ungodliness. The free, unmerited favor of God, something you don't have to work for, actually makes you train and work to say no to ungodliness. That's what grace is, though, right? It's like, yes, it is free. Yes, you can go do whatever you want. Yes, you might still go sinning, but if you've actually understood it, if it's actually impacted you, you never will, right? You'll truthfully go and say no to ungodliness because you now have that freedom and that power. I really felt like a weight off of my shoulders. I really felt like I was accepted and loved and fully known for probably one of the first times in my life, right? Where I felt like I was not hiding anymore. I remember sitting in that saying, man, why didn't I do this 6 months ago, right? Why wasn't I authentic right away? Looking back, I realized a lot of that hurt and angst and pain was coming from rejection. Getting kicked off the baseball team, that's rejection. Getting put on academic probation, that's rejection. And the hardest one was the, you know, first serious girlfriend breaking up with me. That's a hard to say, well, what's wrong with me? What did I do wrong? That goes all the way back to my childhood too, of my dad's not around, why? It was almost like this wave that was building steam. And that's what really, I think, also led to a lot of that moment of me realizing, man, Jesus doesn't just accept me and that's like just kind of cute and nice. The acceptance is actually a really strong, like, identity shaping and changing thing, in the sense of no, all those things have been lies and false voices over you. Satan's been doing that since Genesis 3. That's his game. That's what he wants to do. But again, the voice before that voice is God in the garden saying, I see you. Where are you? You can come out of hiding. And for me, I think when I realized that, I was like, oh, I don't need to fear rejection, or I don't need to fear those different things because I already know I'm accepted. But also I realize my standing, like the way that God sees me is not based on what I do. It's based on what has already been done by Jesus.
Religion is man searching for God. Christianity is God searching for man.
Which is why salvation is freely mine and forgiveness is my own. Not based on my merits, but Jesus' obedience alone. Because he took the crown of thorns and the blood dripped down his face. He took what we all deserve. I guess that's why you call it grace. And while being murdered, he yelled, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Because when he was dangling on that cross, he was thinking of you.
I remember waking up like a couple days after the video went viral, and I was just going to a website that I usually would go read every day. And I'm like on the front page, and they like, the person writing it like hates me, you know? That's just a real weird place to be. That brought up a lot of baggage of, you know, the dad not being around and stuff like that, where a lot of my life was just wanting people to tell me I was good enough or liked or loved. So those were actually some of the most hardest couple weeks of my life, in the sense of just, again, God putting me in the pressure cooker of, am I living for the praise or critique of man? Am I actually living for him? Most of the reviews were really coming at me that, oh, Jesus doesn't hate religion, really. And the reasons those ones were really hard is because I felt like, oh, you misunderstood me. There's like a million different definitions to religion, according to everyone, you know? It's a cultural buzzword, has a ton of baggage, has a ton of weight, and so, man, I was not really ready for that part. The biggest thing I learned from all of that stuff is I would have been the guy before the video happened that would have been at the keyboard being like, this guy's an idiot. I would have been the guy that said, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I would have been, you know, whatever. And I just realized in the internet age, it would be really awesome if the Christian people were known as people who leave room for nuance. We're the people who leave room for understanding. We're the people who don't treat people like 2D images on a screen that we can tear down, but actually real people with real families and real stories. Christians should actually, just theologically, like when you just study the scriptures, just by what we see in the text, we should be the most vulnerable, transparent, and honest people out there, because we're the only people in the whole world where our standing does not depend on us, right? Even if you're an atheist or agnostic or something, someone of a different religion, your standing or your worldview is based on you. When the Christian faith, the Christian gospel, the good news is that that is the good news. It doesn't depend on you. That Jesus has done something for you and for us. And that's that anchor in time. That's where it was achieved. That's where victory was won. Not, you know, whether or not you had your Bible reading in the morning or not. I didn't have to ask, oh, am I not good enough? Or do I need to do this to make it up to you? Or do I have to, you know, X, Y, and Z for you to accept me? In fear of rejection, God's not like that. But what is religion or legalism, or any time we kind of distort the narrative of Scripture and make it more about the rules and regulations when there's no relationship with Jesus. If you look at the harshest words of Jesus, they're always reserved for the most religiously devout people, right? And I think the reason Jesus is so harsh against kind of that is because, and I've seen this in my own life, there's no joy in it and it actually doesn't work. If I was in the middle of a desert and I'm just dying of thirst and like, you know, a toilet bowl shows up, right? I'm probably gonna drink that water, right? And it's probably gonna be amazing actually, right? But if I'm back home in Washington State where I live, like, and I want a glass of water, like, where do I go? I go to the kitchen, right? And while I'm walking by the kitchen, I don't see the toilet and say, oh my goodness, don't drink, don't drink, don't drink, right? Like, I don't have to white knuckle trying to not drink the toilet water. Why? Because I have something better, right? Sure, when you're in a bad place, sure, when you don't have joy, you don't have life, and you are in basically a spiritual desert, then yeah, you might drink the bad stuff. But Jesus is that true living water, that true satisfaction. You can say no to the toilet water because you have him, because you know him. And only with a superior pleasure can you kind of kill an inferior one. And that's why I think he's so harsh against it, because only that relational intimacy that he gives, not that the legalism gives, can actually get you to that place.
Hey guys, Jeff and Alyssa here. It's week four, she just informed me, of the dating series. And so today we wanna talk about kind of a general rule.
I make YouTube videos now rhythmically. I have over 100. A book has come from it, another book's come from it. So a lot of opportunities happen, basically. I've noticed too, on all my videos that are most successful, just meaning they get more views than the other ones, they're always ones that I'm usually a little bit more vulnerable in, which I think is such a lesson of, man, people resonate when you're honest, because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for relatability and the fact that, like, they can be honest too, right? I found healing by being authentic. And to this day, that's why I hold that as such a huge value, because I realized you can't have love, you can't have healing, you can't know true joy unless you're authentic. So you have the choice, right? You cannot know love and acceptance and healing if you're not vulnerable. But if you really want to know those things, you have to be. The cool part to look about it all now, it's been happening, you know, it's been about 4 years. I was arrested at 15 at Target. I couldn't go back in for a year. I was on any Target in the world. And now my book is on their shelf. And so that's just like a crazy full circle grace moment, right? That God can take you places you never would have imagined. Doesn't matter if you feel unqualified, sometimes that's actually the very person God wants to use, because then the only thing that can really happen is people know that it's not your doing, but it's his.
So how do we get from religion that focuses on appearance to a genuine faith that puts the priority on authenticity. Because I know that's what we want. Well, it begins by taking off the mask and telling the truth, which is hard to do. But the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, that God is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. So here's what we find. As we come clean with God, He purifies our hearts. And then as we move towards Him in authenticity, we discover the opposite of what we were so afraid of. See, we were sure that if we came clean, if God knew the real us, if other people knew who we really were, that we would be rejected. But instead, we find that in that moment, we are accepted. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands and purify your hearts." That's the Bible's promise to you, that as your heart becomes pure, that you'll receive the most incredible blessing. You will see God. The real you will meet the real Him. And it's a relationship that's not based on performance or pretense, but it's authentic. I can't think of a greater blessing that I've experienced than knowing God that way. To authentically know Him and to authentically be known by Him, that's what our souls were made for. So when you finally get real and come to the end of yourself, you'll find that Jesus meets you right there.